Welcome, friends, to Season 2 of the Balancing Act Podcast, a program whose effort is to help any and all become more psychologically flexible using the ideas and principles of acceptance and commitment therapy. I am Danny, and with the help of Julio, we bring this to you as a helping hand, as an act of kindness, because let's just face it, we all need just a little bit of help in our own balancing act. Episode 31, Feeling Ends in ING. Hey there, this is the Balancing Act Podcast. I am Danny, that is Julio, and welcome to the show. If this is your first time listening, we want to extend a hearty, warm welcome to you. For those of you who are return listeners, thank you so much for your loyalty and for coming back and continuing to give us a listen. It is the greatest compliment that you would devote time to listen. We are very aware that time is an unrenewable resource, and we love the fact that you would spend sometimes 20 minutes, sometimes 18 minutes, sometimes 22 minutes, whatever it might be, that you'd actually spend that time to listen, and I hope that the investment in time will pay itself forward to you in some way. And as always, as we plead with you, as we beg to you, and as we just ask of you to share the show with others, because as you know, sharing is caring. The mission of this show, if we would have to give it like a quote-unquote mission statement, like all these big corporations have mission statements, right, is to provide a free source of information for listeners. There's all walks of life, the types of people that would be listening to a show like this, right? It could be people that are struggling. Maybe it's people that are just trying to optimize their lives in one way or another. Or people that are just curious souls who are just, exploring the infosphere, trying to, sharpen their tools. Maybe it's for people that are just feeling stuck, trapped, lost, aimless, misunderstood, lonely folks, just people in the, stuck in the mud, or just someone that's just trying to entertain themselves on the drive to work. Whatever it may be, the hope is that this podcast becomes a place where we find a way, any way, big or small, to get better. I want to give some details. We are going to have an episode pretty soon with a very special guest. The goal of the episode is to rehash some concepts from ACT, from Acceptance and Commitment Therapy, for those listeners that may benefit from a new rundown on the basics. So I was trying to think, who would be the most clueless person in my life as it pertains to Acceptance and Commitment Therapy? And the answer was actually pretty obvious. It's my brother. So in many ways, he is the modern day caveman. And Julio's laughing over there because it's very true. He is definitely a modern. I mean, the fact that he wasn't casted in those Geico commercials as the caveman is beyond me. But so he may be the right person to have on the podcast with me to break things down and into more simple parts. So I'm very curious how that's going to play out, because he may cooperate, but I've known him my whole life, and he's not one to cooperate, so he may throw me a couple obstacles, which I hope that the listeners would benefit from. More details. We started a Patreon page. The show will continue to be free and accessible on all its several platforms: SoundCloud, Apple iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, and Julio's computer. But you need to ask Julio for permission to come over and actually listen to the episodes. It would be kind of rude just to show up and knock on the door. Did I miss one, Julio? Amazon, Google Play, iTunes, SoundCloud,
Spotify.
I knew there was one I was missing, Spotify. It'll continue to be a free resource, but we're setting up the Patreon page just to give an opportunity to listeners that can and are willing and able to support the show. Either way, there's going to be more details on that in the next episode, where we're going to actually have like more of a breakdown of it. So that's coming very soon. You can also email us at thebalancingactpodcast@gmail.com. That's thebalancingactpodcast@gmail.com. To provide commentary. I've had some listeners just get updates. I had one where someone's just talking about how they did great on a job interview and they used some of the concepts from our show, which I thought was pretty cool that they would do that. So we love stuff like that. Sometimes suggestions. Sometimes we'll get emails where people are asking us to focus on other details in particular, and then so that gives us like show topic ideas. So any of that stuff is greatly appreciated. You can also follow us on Instagram at the Balancing Act Miami. Some of our listeners reach out on that platform, and you can DM or whatever. At the very least, I'll post every once in a while. Sometimes it's comical stuff. Sometimes it's just stuff I'm reading, maybe inspirational quotes or whatnot. But and sometimes you get pictures of like some interesting things in my office that like I got a Bob Ross statuette the other day from a client that was pretty cool. So anyway, but Instagram is another way you can reach us and stay connected. So now, in terms of a recap, last episode we discussed the shark in all of us, the shark that keeps swimming and swimming, not because we are Dory, but more like Bruce. I believe that's the name of the shark from Finding Nemo, but we're sharks swimming, afraid of sinking into deeper waters. And that's the trap we fall into, where we do this not as a committed action towards values, but we do this as a committed effort to avoid things we don't want to face up to. Now, today we will talk about the truth that stares us right in the face. In those moments of anger and sadness, joy, disgust, and fear, and even those other emotions that didn't start in the movie Inside Out. I guess it's like a Pixar-sponsored episode today with I got Finding Nemo and Dory and Inside Out. But even the emotions that didn't start in Inside Out, like inadequacy, betrayal, excitement, suspense, flabbergasted. That's always a good one. I'm not even sure how you would spell flabbergasted, but all these emotions are also known as feelings. They are not felts. We call them feelings because we're supposed to feel them, right? Which means that when they show up, we need to resist the temptation to make them something in our past and embrace the reality that a feeling ending in ing is actually meant to be. Questions. Are there certain feelings you consider problem feelings? Like fear? Maybe loneliness? Or anger? Betrayal? Everyone's favorite, anxiety? Distress? What's your go-to move when they show up? Do you run away from them? Hide? Find comfort food, a comfort beverage, problem behavior, some other comforts that serve as exit signs? Do you do all you can to prevent feeling them and to make them something you felt rather than feel? Today's story, C-3PO versus the Terminator. Now, clearly, I am not going to paint a picture of poor old C-3PO in a celebrity death match. Yes, that's from the back in the MTV days. I've just dated myself. Like, you've got to be, I think, above the age of 37, probably, to know what celebrity death match was? Right. But anyway, we're not going to, condemn poor C-3PO to be in a celebrity death match with the Terminator. That just would not go well. That'd be a horrible sight, particularly for those listeners of our show who are our hardcore Star Wars fans, like my buddy Joe out there somewhere. The face-off I would like to discuss is the dichotomy between these two robots. On one hand, or cyborgs? Robots? Cyborgs? Whatever. On one hand, we have this C-3PO, a lovable protocol droid from the Star Wars universe in his golden-colored outer covering, protecting bundles of wiring and circuitry, exuding an abundance of anxiety and worry and sometimes temper. Especially when he's playing out those probabilities of disaster, or when I think there was like one point in one of the movies he calls Chewbacca a filthy furball. I mean, these are really like temperamental things that you don't think a robot would do, right? It's very human traits that they give C-3PO. But then on the other hand, in the other corner of the celebrity deathmatch, we have the Terminator, played by the furry-browed Arnold Schwarzenegger, a robot assassin from the year... Are you ready? Are you ready for this, Julio? Do you know what year... Sorry, this has to go on pause for a second. Do you know what year the Terminator is sent back in time from? What's your guess?
2040, I think it was.
2029. I Googled this. it blew my mind. So we have Arnold Schwarzenegger, a robot assassin from the far-reaching future, who is sent back from the year 2029. That's like 7 years away, dude. Should we be worried? These Terminator robots run by Skynet, or should we say Sky Netflix, emotionless killing machines on a mission. Moments in the movies where we make the audience giggle in these Terminator movies is when Arnold Schwarzenegger's character might make an ironic, response towards something, and maybe he'll parrot a phrase, hasta la vista, baby. And that's about it. What a difference, right? We have on one hand, we got C-3PO who's yelling at Chewbacca for being a furball because he has him backwards on a backpack, and then on the other hand, we have this emotionless robot who his shtick is saying "Hasta la vista, baby." What's really ironic is that between these two robots, C-3PO is definitely exhibiting more human traits in his dusty yet golden metal body than his counterpart, the Terminator, who is in an actual human body, right? Like it's human flesh covering, human, I guess, genetics covering his robot skeleton. But actually, the more human one is the one that actually looks like a robot. Now, let's be clear. I do not wish for you to be a bundle of neurotic energy like C-3PO, okay? So that's not the point of this show, this episode. It's clear that C-3PO is in desperate need of getting some acceptance and commitment therapy. I mean, he needs to sit down. If you remember from our Star Wars episode, we were joking around that Obi-Wan is probably an ACT therapist, right? He could probably benefit if we just sit down with Obi-Wan Kenobi and talk a little bit, right? Because his neurosis and anxiety is off the chart. But I would like to say is to think of it as a spectrum of willingness to feel from C-3PO. So like C-3PO is actually feels feelings, right? That's what makes him human. And then on the other hand, we've got Terminator in the other ring in this celebrity death match that does not feel feelings. So thus why he comes across as being a robot. Too many of us go into this Terminator mode when problem feelings come up. We judge these feelings. We judge them as being just too intense or being too much for us. Or we might say to ourselves, I don't like this or I hate this feeling. Why am I feeling this? And so we go into this mode of cold steel and the 1,000-yard stare kicks in. And then we end up, red-eyed like Terminator. And just like that, we went from feeling to I felt something. But we did it by disconnecting, from running away, not allowing the feeling to actually live its lifespan. And ultimately, lowering our tolerance to that feeling, which would then more likely next time around would result with us again running away from that feeling and making it a felt rather than a feeling. We have a choice in those moments. In the face of discomfort, do I stay or do I go? The Clash song? Is that the Clash? Should I stay or should I go now? Right. We have that choice. It's the fork in the road. Will I stay and allow myself to be human, or will I check out and say, hasta la vista, baby. Here and now versus there and then. A major goal as a therapist when working with a client is to facilitate them in staying in the here and now, right? All too often you find yourself with a client who is not in the here and now and instead are in they're in there and then. They kind of go into this like scripted parody, a parrot speaking is what I want to say, right? Like, as a therapist, you can tell, they're kind of just, robotically going through the details rather than feeling it, right? I actually have a little catchphrase that I use in therapy when I see someone go from that C-3PO of overly feeling the feelings into that Terminator mode. When I see that happen, I kind of interject and I say, okay, where did you go just now? Because a lot of times it's very clear when someone just checks out. They don't like the feeling that they are ing, so they run. They're still on the couch, they're still sitting there, but they are not in the room. So I try to bring them back to the now, because that's where the healing happens. Now, outside of the therapist's office, there are just so many, many, many ways we check out from the here and now when we don't like the feeling that we are ing. We get on our phones, we're either on Instagram or on Snapchat or Twitter or WhatsApp or whatever apps we use to check out. Or maybe it's, I should say sports apps, especially as we record this, we're in like playoff hockey and NBA playoff season, right? We just check out into these apps. Or maybe it's substances, it's alcohol, marijuana, or something else. Or maybe it's behaviors, like diving into 9 straight seasons of The Office or binging Stranger Things. We are becoming hypersensitive to feelings. Certain feelings because our survival response is to tune out and not let a feel be a feeling. Stephen Hayes has a great TED Talk called Psychological Flexibility, How Love Turns Pain into Purpose. You can find it on YouTube, and if you have the TED Talk app, you'll find it there. It's a wonderful, very vulnerable talk. I believe Stephen Hayes really puts himself out there on this. It's actually very theatrical too. I feel like if he wasn't going to be a clinician, he'd probably make it as a Broadway actor because he really gets into it, right? But it's a talk about how psychological flexibility is trying to get us to respond to pain and discomfort with love rather than fear. To not run away from ourselves, but to embrace ourselves. Because let's just call it for what it is. If you don't want to feel what you're feeling, the only solution is to run from yourself. Visualize that. Like you're literally running away from the person that you should be loving the most. So much of our inflexibilities are born from us wanting and feeling like we need to run away from events happening within us. Our well-being, our psychological flexibility, us becoming balanced, purposeful, value-driven, tolerant of discomfort, equanimous, actively participating human beings in this thing called life, it all comes back to one thing. Can I sit here and allow feelings to be feelings and to allow them to live out their lifespan within me rather than to run away from myself? To make conscious decisions to be here and now and to not run away from ourselves, to let our feelings feel their way through. It may be terribly uncomfortable, but we will be better for it. We will grow from that, and we will experience what it is to be fully human. And always, at this part of the episodes, is our challenge. And our challenge is to help you become a more active participant in your own life. And for those that haven't noticed, active, first three letters of active is act. It's stress on the word, on the part act and active, to be active participants in your own life. I challenge you to hug yourself in those tough times when you're feeling something you don't want to feel. Don't run in fear. Stay in love. If your friend called you to share with you that they are sad, do you hang up? No, you'd likely stay on the phone with them and love them back. Do yourself the same favor. Stay in your now. Embrace yourself. Don't run. Allow the feeling to do its feeling. Allow it to stay in its ing. It may be difficult, but you'll be better for it in the long run. And you'll be fully human and fully balanced. Thank you for listening. This is the Balancing Act Podcast. That is Julio over there. I am Danny over here. We are thankful and take care.